Welcome to the Locate 852 podcast, bringing you insights on how you can build and scale your business with social platforms. Hosted by the leading Facebook ad strategist in Hong Kong, entrepreneur, branding expert, and the founder of Locate 852, Chris Chung.
Ryan, it's fantastic to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
For the people that don't know you, take us all the way back to baby Ryan. What was your upbringing like? What was you? How were you as a child?
Wow, as a child, huh? I was always probably like a little fitness fanatic, even when I was young. I mean, it's, for those of you who don't know me right now, like I own a pretty big online fitness brand. I own a gym. I own a bunch of stuff now that's fitness related. And if at some point, if you've ever liked fitness, you've probably seen an ad from me at some point on social media, because I've spent quite a bit of money just through online advertising. So with that being said, yeah, like when I was little, I think that one of my like first memories is probably like riding a bicycle. Like my mom got me a bike for Christmas and I just never got off of it. I just rode my bike like everywhere. When I was like 12 years old, I remember I got a flat tire. And at the time we had like these giant phones that were prepaid. There was no like service on them. It was like a walkie talkie. And I remember calling my mom on the walkie talkie. And I was like, hey, I have a flat tire. You got to pick me up. And she had to drive like almost an hour in a car to pick me up. And she was like, how the hell did you get over here? And I was like, well, I just like, you know, you gave me a bike and I heard that there was some cool stuff over here. So I rode all the way over here. And that's kind of like how the whole thing pretty much started. I started to realize that I just really liked, you know, anything that had to do with fitness.
And did you already know early on that you were more athletic and than the average Joe, even from like your early days?
I didn't realize how athletic I was until I got my first job. So my first job was actually, I worked on a farm taking watermelon out of a truck and putting it into a bin. And I was young, like I just got my driver's license. And I remember the farm, like they were used to hiring like professional, like workers, you know what I mean? Like these people didn't make a lot of money, obviously, like all they did for a living was like hard labor. And, you know, my boss at the time, his name was Mike. He would say, hey, the fastest I've ever seen someone unload a whole trailer was like X amount of hours. If you could beat that, then I'll give you, you know, an extra bonus, or you'll get to eat whatever you want at lunch or whatever. Like you can get whatever you want, as much as you want, just stuff like that. And it used to really challenge me. And I'd be like, oh man, I'm going to like take these things and I would like chuck them. I'd be like moving so fast because it was a challenge. And that was kind of like my first feeling of like competition and like wanting to just like really see how far I could take my body to go. So I'm happy I learned that like at a very young age, like kind of like pushing my limits type of a thing. And I remember I would work like for like 12 hours and I'd still go to the beach and like go surfing, because like that was really important to me. And yeah, I mean, even just at a young age, like just fitness was like everything to me. I mean, it still is.
Did you then think, just because you love it and you're naturally good at it and you were able to work hard at it, that's what you wanted to do professionally?
I always thought it'd be cool to do that professionally, right? But like when you're younger, I feel like you have these certain jobs in your head that stand out and you're like, oh, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer to make a lot of money. Or, you know, like what else can I do that's like kind of adventurous, you know, since I'm kind of like a young, fit guy. So my first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to be a pilot. My uncle was actually a dentist, but he would fly like recreationally. And he took me up one time and I remember being like, oh, this is really cool. And I flew a few times with him and I just told my mom, I was like, well, you know, I can't like do fitness and work out for a living, but like when it is time for a job, I think I'm going to be a pilot. That sounds really cool. And I can go live, you know, I chose Hawaii. So like when I graduated high school, I moved to Hawaii for flight school. And I actually went and became a helicopter pilot. A lot of people actually don't know that about me. That was like my very first thing I did. Wow. And from there, I just remember being in, you know, I just graduated school and there was a whole part of me that was like, man, I'm just like, I'm still like so fit. Like one of the guys that I lived with in the dorm played football for University of Hawaii. And he was a first round, like he could have went to any school he wanted to. He was an All-American. He was an amazing football player. And he would bring me with him to go work out with like with all the football players and stuff. And I would like throw up the same numbers as like these like insane football players as a young little surfer bum kid, you know, who's flying helicopters. And he's like, dude, you're a freak. Like, I don't understand. Like, you should, do you want to play football? I'll talk to the coach. Like, you'll for sure be able to play. And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of fun. And then like, I just like never really went through it because a few weeks after he was trying to get me to play, I saw a sign and it was the Verizon phone company. I feel like, you know, Verizon's everywhere. Do you guys have Verizon?
Yeah. Well, I spent half time between LA and Hong Kong. So yeah, Verizon's not over here, but in LA, obviously.
Yeah, but hopefully most of you guys know Verizon. So like they had this like tour that was going from every state in the United States. They went to all 50 states and they were trying to recruit people for the skeleton and bobsled team for the Olympics. And I was like, dude, I'm going to try that. That looks cool. And then I got like one of the top scorers in the country and I moved from Hawaii to Utah. And I spent 5 years on the skeleton and bobsled team. And I went back to school and I got my kinesiology degree, which is exercise sports science. So I got to do what I wanted to do for school. I got to be an athlete for a living. I didn't make any money. In fact, I made like negative money, but it was a fun time of my life. It was great. And then from there, you know, when I graduated school completely and the Olympics and all that stuff was over, I wound up getting injured and I didn't get to compete, but I was ready to like, you know, make it to the Olympic team and all that. It was really a bummer. And I had to make a decision. I was like, do I train another 4 years and try to go to the Olympics, or do I try to just do something else? Or do I, you know, go back in the, like go to the military and become a pilot, or what should I do now? It was like it was a really stressful time in my life. Cause it was like that time, I feel like when every kid gets to that point where they're like in their young 20s, they're like, what do I do? You know? And that was me. And I wound up like going to a CrossFit gym because I decided that I was going to go in the military to be like a Navy SEAL. I was like, I should go do special forces or something. I'm like super fit. You know, I have my helicopter license. So like maybe when I'm done like running around and killing people and stuff, I can go fly. Or like, you know, I don't know. I was thinking about all the things I had done and what I could do with it. And somebody's like, you should go to a CrossFit gym. You'll love it. Like everyone in there is like really intense. And then like it'll get you ready for the military. And I was like, cool, let's go do it. And when I went, the owner of the gym was like, dude, I need you to compete. Like you would be so good. And I was like, I don't want to compete. I want nothing to do with that. I just want to get through this. I want to get fit and I want to go to the military and that's what I want to do. And then what happened was I wound up like doing competitions and all this stuff. And I got really big in the sport. And I found out that like, I lived in Utah at the time and I didn't like it. Like I was only there for the bobsled and skeleton stuff, but it was like snowing all the time and it was cold. And like, I didn't really like the surroundings. Like I wasn't really like an outdoorsy person at the time. All I cared about was like having a cool gym and like the beach. I grew up on the beach. I went to the beach in Hawaii for school. And then I was in the mountains and I kind of hated it. Funny enough, I like the mountains and stuff now, but then I was just like, oh my God, I gotta get out of here. So once I started getting good in the CrossFit sport, my name was well known. I moved to California, which is where I still am. And I've been here now for like 10 years. And to make a long story short, I wound up opening my own gym. I wound up, you know, owning one of the biggest online brands probably in the world right now for online training. And, you know, I think most people in the whole like fitness realm, like if you're a trainer or you want to own a gym or whatever, you've probably heard of me at some point. And there's a giant part that I skipped over that was basically when I lost there was a point where I like didn't have any money at all. And I was sleeping on some people's couches who I didn't even know. They were just people who offered when I was at a gym. I got caught stealing and went to jail because I didn't have any money for food. So I got caught stealing food. And like, there was probably like a whole year that I skipped for you just to kind of get you to the good part. But like, there was one year where I had absolutely nothing. And my two choices were to move back home, which is in New Jersey, which is complete other side of my country, USA. And it was like, either I had to go there and go back to school. My mom wanted me to like go back to school for something in the medical field, like be a nurse or a doctor or something. Or I steal food and do whatever I had to do to kind of like stay in the sport and see like what I could really do with it, which was crazy at the time because I was giving my whole life for a sport that was not really a like a big, big time sport yet. Like people weren't making money yet or making it into a cool career. Social media wasn't big enough where people were making money yet. I just was like, this is all I really want to do. And I don't really know what else is going to happen, but I'm just going to fucking send it and see what happens. And I almost forget those times, and I'm sitting here now. I just like feel emotional about it. It's crazy. Like what was able to happen from my scenario in that time to now is like, doesn't even seem real.
You've definitely built up a lot of both obviously physical training, but even as training mentally through, you know, your even early years from riding bikes for an hour out till bobsled, BMX and Olympics and then CrossFit. How has the physical training set you up mentally for when you were in that struggles? Do you think that played an effect of helping you get out of that, or what was your mental state then?
It's hard for me to say like what the physical stuff does for me mentally, because my whole life has been physical and I don't really know what it's like to not have it. Like when I see people who don't like work out, I'm like, holy fuck. Like, what does your day look like? Like when you have downtime, are you just like watching TV? Like, are you reading a magazine? Like, what waste of time are you doing? Like, to me, it's like, it's crazy. I'm like, unless you're working all day on your computer and you're creating something, like, what does that downtime look like? Just blows me away. Or even like, you know, if I travel somewhere, the first thing I want to do is like go on a hike and see something pretty, or I just want to do something active. It's like the first thing I think of. So for me, that's like really hard to register. But I will say, after I got caught stealing and I went to jail, my sentence was basically either 3 months in jail or 1500 hours of community service. So I basically chose the 1500 hours of community service, and I wound up working 1500 hours of cleaning up garbage in parks all around where I just opened my gym. So it was like, I didn't want anybody to see me. And every single day that I was not working in the gym, I was cleaning up trash in a park for like an extra 6, 7, 8 hours a day. So for 3 years, I never had one single day off of probably a 15 hour work day for 3 years straight, like Monday through Sunday. Like every single day I went to the gym and worked, or I picked up trash. And that 3 year stint was something that molded me into just an absolute savage for taking work on into my life. Like there's still to this day, I do an insane amount of stuff that everyone's like, dude, I don't even know how you do all that. Like you should delegate that out or this or that. And to me, it's just like, I really don't understand what it's like to not work so, so much.
What year was it when you had that you went into that struggle phase and where you had to steal, and how long ago was that?
Probably 2013 to 2016 or 2016 probably. Cause I opened the gym in 2014 and I got the community service sentence the year before, like just a little bit before, like 6 months before the gym even opened.
Oh, so you started the business while you were still struggling at the same time. What was that like for you?
Well, it's crazy because I was in community service picking up trash, and I'm telling the people at community service that like, I'm like cool on social media and I just opened this gym and I'm like a professional athlete, like all these things. And they're like, yeah, 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 sure. You know? And then we would basically drive by in the truck and I'm like, dude, that's my gym right there. And he'd be like, no way. And I'm like, dude, I have a chalk hat on, a chalk hoodie. Like, you know, and they're like, you didn't just buy it. I'm like, no, I didn't buy it. Look at my social media. This is me opening the gym, you know, all these things. And they'd be like, oh my God, like you're really telling the truth. And then like, I mean, I worked at the community service place for 3 years, dude. I basically had a full-time job there. I knew everybody there. When the 3 years was up, it didn't have to be 3 years. I just couldn't get it done any sooner. But when that was up, I mean, these guys who I went into community service with, like they would come to my gym and like stop by and say hi and like see how I'm doing. Actually, one of them still texts me to this day. He's got like kids now and he sends me photos of him and the kids wearing the chalk clothes, and it's crazy.
What made you start? Obviously, you were competing and you love fitness throughout your years, but what made you start your own business?
I actually never wanted to start my own business. I actually was like doing pretty well as a trainer. And I had a guy that I was training and he was like, I really think you should open your own gym. I think we could do something special in the area because I live in a really expensive area and there wasn't like a really nice kind of CrossFit style gym. And we both knew it would do well if one existed. But I was like, dude, I just don't know because there's so many other gyms in the area that it just didn't seem possible for it to do like well enough where I would be making more money than I was making as a trainer. Because as a trainer, I would make all this money. It was mine. And then when I left, like, no one has to call me for anything. Now people call me all the time. They're like, dude, this happened at the gym. This happened. Like, we're losing a trainer. Like, this is happening. Like, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want nothing to do with this, you know? So you have to hire managers and hire this and hire that. Then you start losing employees. And you have, like, I have to come back in and, like, figure stuff out. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I never really wanted that. But this guy just believed in me a lot and he really wanted me to do it. And he found this like beautiful spot. And I was like, all right, it looks like a good spot. I think it's going to work out. Like, let's just give it a go. And it was just another one of those times where I just was like, I'm just going to send it and see what happens. And I don't know. I think ever since I was little, because I grew up in a family, like I grew up with five brothers and sisters. And I also have three other sisters, well, now four on my dad's side that I didn't live with, but like I have a huge family. And I've always told my mom, like my whole life, like, I don't know, mom, but like it's just gonna work out. I just know it's gonna work out. And like, even when my life was shit, she's like, you always think it's gonna work out. So, you know, I feel like it'll probably work out for you. And then, like, even now, like, I have problems with stuff, just like, not financial problems or anything like that, or like stuff like that anymore. It's like, mom, I don't know if I should do this or I should do this, or I'm going crazy. I'm thinking about this like every day. And she's like, I just know that you're just going to figure it out. And like, whatever you decide to do will be the right move. And she's right. Like I always just wind up being like, this is the worst decision ever, but I'm just going to do it. And I feel like that really scary decision is usually the better one.
Was it difficult during the first few years of you've never obviously owned a business prior before, you were just a full-time athlete and you were working different places. Was it hard to learn the lessons as a beginning entrepreneur? Did you have people that guided you through the process, just like the person that you said found the location? Or was it just a process of never giving up and failing forward?
Oh, I mean, to me, when I started the business, I started it at a time where like Instagram was starting to get big. So to me, business was social media, you know? So like, I didn't know what the hell an LLC was. I didn't know how to run a business or anything like that, but I did know how to run social media. So I just used that to my advantage. Like as soon as I opened the gym, I remember, you know, painting the walls and putting up like, you know, special fixtures that no other gyms had. And I'd be like, I would just post it on the gram. And just be like, hey guys, like I'm just putting all this stuff up, like check it out. It's gonna be really cool when it's done. And then like, I would just talk about the gym every day. Like I remember getting in like all these really expensive plates that nobody had in town. Like all these like Olympic lifting plates that were like colorful and beautiful plates, really expensive. And everybody else had like the cheaper ones. And I'd like just video the truck coming up to the gym, taking the plates out. And be like, hey guys, look, I just got like 30 grand, 40 grand worth of plates. And then like, that would be like shared like all over the place. People were like, oh my God, this gym is going to be insane. So like, that was my strength. I just was like, all right, well, I'm going to buy all this stuff. I have a really dope investor and you know, I'm willing to work as hard as I can. So once the gym opened, I didn't really like any trainers. I didn't really think anybody was that great. So I coached every single class, every single day myself for like 3 months, which I look back now and I'm like, wow, that was so stupid. But at the same time, what that did for me is like everyone who still comes in the gym to this day is like, man, the culture here is so nice. Like it feels like a different gym. I can just tell. And I think that's because I spent so much time in it instead of hiring a bunch of people. Then those people kind of like, they, I don't know, like a part of them like went down to the next person and the next person, and the next person. Rather, it was me at the top. And then like all of my energy went down to the next person and the next person. And like, I was always there to hire the next person. And like everybody who was a part of it was around me for a while. So the energy was just all the same. So I don't really regret it. It was just a lot of work in the beginning.
How has marketing for you changed over the years in terms of how you've been using social media in order to further develop the brands? Obviously, different platforms have changed, many, many new platforms and the way the algorithms work over the years. But how have you been still able to effectively market yourself and also the company?
So in the beginning, I never did a paid ad, like ever. I never thought it was something that even mattered. I was like, no, I don't need to do that. The gym's already doing well. I never really did anything other than just post about stuff. And then probably 3 to 4 years of owning the gym, I was like, all right, I'm gonna start doing paid stuff, but I'm only gonna do the paid stuff for my own personal brand. I'm probably like one of the bigger guys in the world for like paid ads as an individual fitness brand. Like besides my gym, like Chalk brand, like my own personal brand, I run so many ads, and there was a time where I was spending well over $1 million a year in just ads. And I mean, I think it just hit everybody on the planet. I mean, people recognize me in every single country, every airport, like everywhere I've ever been. People are like, oh, I think I know this guy. And you know, that's the biggest change. I just went from like super organic to, you know, super paid. And I used to stress a lot about like having 1 million followers or this or that. Now I just stress about having really good like ads. I'm like, well, is it really worth my time to sit here and try to get 1 million followers, or should I just spend more money so that I can get more people to see it? So that's a big struggle for me now, is like, I see somebody with 1 million followers and it really boggles my mind. I'm like, damn, I really want that. And I get jealous. And then I'm like, I don't know if I care, actually. I'm like, I'll just spend more and hit just as many people as them, and I won't have to have my entire life on social media all the time to get that following, or be like begging other people for me to hang out with them so we can tag each other. You know what I mean? The influencer life is very interesting. Like the people, for those of you listening, like people don't just like by chance get all these followers, unless it's TikTok right now. But like on Instagram, it's like, they're like, oh, let's hang out. And it's like so fake. And they're just like, they just want to hang out so they can tag each other. And like, it's just a nightmare.
Through owning your gym over since, was it 2014, you said?
Or yes.
14 till now. What was the biggest struggle in growing the gym that you had to overcome, but now sets you apart from other people?
I would just say like the online part of it. Like I think a lot of, especially for gym owners or anyone who starts like their own brand in terms of fitness, they get stuck in one particular niche. They're like, I'm just going to open a gym. And then if the gym works out, I'm going to open 10 gyms or 100 gyms or whatever. And then some people are like, I just want my own personal brand. And if that works out, you know, I'll branch out and do like affiliate marketing, or I'll do this or that or whatever. But for me, it was like, no, I just want all of it. And you know what I mean? Like a lot of people will say, well, you should just focus on one thing and you'll do better in that one thing. And I do agree in the beginning, until that one thing starts to make, I don't know, call it $1 million a year. Then I think you're allowed to do other shit, because then you've showed that you've proven yourself in one area and you can do the other area as well, as long as you get the right people to kind of be in the right places. But for me, it was like, yeah, I'll just do the gym. I'll do the online thing. I'll do, you know, we'll start some clothes. We'll start all these other things. And it's just like more and more brand awareness. And I think a lot of people, they kind of get nervous to throw themselves out there. There was a point in my career where I was making a lot of money on my app, on my fitness app. And, you know, my Instagram was doing really well. But because I was like never the absolute number one world champion, like in my sports at any time, like I did well, but I was never like number one. And because I was not that person, I would feel insecure about like, hey, people should buy my stuff. People should look at me like this. Like every time you post, it's like, it's kind of like, look at me. Like there's so many people out there who have podcasts or they have workout programs and they're scared to take a video, you know, like they're in the gym and they're like, they don't, you know, like, let's do the video over here where nobody is or whatever. Like I just got back from the gym literally just before this podcast. And like I did videos in front of a bunch of people in there. And it's uncomfortable, like for sure. Like it's not the easiest feeling in the world. But like once you realize that you're helping other people and like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and nobody else really cares that much. Someone might make a little snicker comment or whatever, but it's like, you know, dude, like I'm living my dream. Like I get to do exactly what I want to do, and I'll take some Snickers, you know, little laughs here and there just so I can keep doing what I do, because I'm just laughing at the fact that you have a desk job and you work really hard for a very, very small amount of money where I get to make a lot and do what I love to do. You know what I mean?
You're definitely one of the highest performing athletes in around the world. You work with a lot of different high performers, whether that be through the athletic standpoint or even the entrepreneurship or business standpoint. What do you think distinguishes the good athletes from the great athletes?
I think it's blocking out everything else in your life. Like for me, I literally slept on couches, stole food, did it exactly. To say that I would do anything to win is an understatement. Like I did anything to win, like be well beyond what was even morally correct. Like I went way, way past the spectrum. And I think some people get into sports because they want that rock star status, because they want money, you know, like they want to win something because that something gets them money or status or something like that. For me, it was like, I just love to do this and I just want this to somehow be a career for me. There was never, ever, ever a thought where I thought I would ever make a lot of money doing this, ever. Like, I didn't even think that was possible. And you could just tell from the video, like 20 minutes ago when we started, like, that was not even an option. I would have been happy to just like make a little bit of money that whatever was normal at the time. So, I mean, I think if you really do it because you love it and you really are willing to do anything, I think that's the big differentiator. And you can see it when you see these people, like, you know, like the people who love it and the people who are there for like an agenda.
What personally makes you tick? What makes Ryan tick? What fuels you to have this drive in order to pursue your fullest potential?
I think I just had a lot of stuff missing in my life as I was growing up. I didn't like find out who my dad was. So I was like 24. I found out who he was when I was 18. I met him when I was 24. It just like, it was something that kind of bothered me when I was little. And there was like, I had like this weird feeling of like something was missing. And then when I was 18, I found out what that was. When I was 24, I met that person. And like along the way, I've always felt like, I don't know, like I just wanted to do something so awesome that like wasn't really done in my family, but then also would like fill this like void that I had inside that like I didn't really know. I never even knew what it was like when I was growing up. I just knew something was wrong. And like I basically thought that someone else was my dad my whole life, and I just kind of felt like it wasn't right. And then also like when I was younger, with the five brothers and sisters that I grew up with, like we didn't really all just like get along real well. Like the reason I'd ride my bike so far and do all these crazy bike rides was because like I just didn't really want to be home. And then like to say that that's what propelled me to where I'm at now, then would not make sense. But like now when I look back, like as people ask me these questions now, they're like, what do you think was that inner drive? And I'm just like, I think I was just like searching for something that like I never really had. I still feel like I look for it all the time. Like I don't know. I hate to say like I'm never satisfied or nothing's ever good enough type of a thing, but it's like, I always want things to be more. I'm always feeling like there's a point where you'll get to and you like feel this success, or you feel like, oh man, I really did it. You know, like I really fucking did it, but like that never really happens. You know, you kind of, at least for me, like, I just feel like I feel like I'm 95% there. I'm like, oh, I'm going to feel it. It's going to happen. And like, and it doesn't. And I'm just like, well, shit, do I need to do more? Like, do I need to find something else? Like, do I need to date a different girl? Like, you know, am I, you know, do I live in the right place? Like, is California the place for me? Like every time I travel, I'm looking around. I'm like, could I live here? Like every time. It's crazy. Like I always feel like there's something that I'm looking for. I feel like I've been on like a lifelong journey to find it. It's a weird thing. It's a weird way to say it, but that's what I kind of feel.
What is your personal relationship with money? To have a contrast between, you know, the 2013 to 16, 14, where you're struggling and ceiling, and then to gain momentum with building social media, being an influencer, building a business and having huge financial success. How has your relationship with money changed over the years?
I'd say in the beginning, when I first started making money, I didn't tell anybody anything. I just like lived in this little crappy one bedroom place. I had a little pickup truck. And I remember telling my mom, like I had, you know, over like $1 million in my account. And she was like, Ryan, you need to go buy a house. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I don't really want a house. I don't really want anything. Like I'm good. I assume I'll just keep saving and it'll be great, you know? And she's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Like you have to buy a house because the house will be worth more money. You invest in things and blah, blah, blah. Cause again, I didn't really know anything except, you know, being an athlete. Now I'm trying to learn how to do business. Now you're gonna tell me I have to learn how to invest. I'm like, holy shit. So I wound up buying a house. Once I bought the house, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like maybe I should buy some other stuff. So I like bought my dream car. I bought like one of those Mercedes G wagons. I bought like a $50,000 watch. I wound up buying two more of those. I got like a, I got like a bunch of watches, a car, all this stuff. I bought like a $15,000 bicycle, like a bunch of crazy shit. Right. And then I don't know. I think like maybe about a year after that, after like a year, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of overbuying stuff and I really don't really care anymore. And even now I'm like, I think I kind of want to sell my car and ride around like a motor scooter. I almost think it's funny. And it's almost cooler now to have less stuff, but have more money, but like nobody knows. Like I'd almost rather that. But yeah, I think as a young kid to grow up and then have the amount of money that you always wanted to have and be able to buy some of those things is necessary. So you see what it feels like. But then also you understand that it doesn't really actually mean anything because everyone tells you it doesn't mean anything. But then you have to like actually experience it to know that it doesn't mean anything. So
that I think is the key point.
Yeah. I know that like, I know I had to do it for sure. I definitely had to do it. I feel like if I didn't do it, I'd always be like, oh man, like I should have bought a Ferrari, you know, or I should have done something like that. But because when you get to the older guys, you're like in their 40s, 50s and stuff, they're like, dude, you don't need any of that shit. And I'm just like, what are you going to do? Die with all of your money? And then it's like, that's what you always say. And then, yeah, you're probably just going to die with all of your money because you just don't care about it. Or you almost rather give it away.
Do you still have that part in you? Is there still something that you're looking to achieve, whether that be through buying something or something that you want to do money-wise that you have yet to accomplish?
I'd like to make enough where I didn't have to work forever. Like, I didn't have to. I'll probably still do it. But man, I can't imagine that feeling of just like, well, I'm just not going to go on social media for 3 months and I'm going to go climb like Mount Everest. You know what I mean? And just like not care. That'd be a great feeling. And then like every time I came on, people would be like, oh fuck, he's posting, you know, like it's crazy. But like now it's like, I always feel the pressure of like, oh, I got to post. I have to do this. I have to do that. I got to go fly here, fly there. I just got back from Miami yesterday. That's why I had you on for today. I was like, all right, I'll get in from Miami. I'll have that podcast with him. And then it's like a nonstop deal. But then as soon as I don't have anything to do, I'm kind of like, well, shoot, I should do something. So I don't know if I guess even if I got to that point, I probably would still work. But that's my ultimate goal, is just to make enough where I know that like I'm good forever. That'd just be a cool feeling.
What advice? And I guess, yeah.
It depends on the lifestyle you choose too. Sorry.
No, what advice would you give? A lot of the listeners are obviously younger entrepreneurs or beginning entrepreneurs. What advice would you, have you learned the hard way that you'd want to pay forward through building your own social media, becoming an influencer, being an athlete, starting your own business, that if you can share with them, you think would be really impactful for them?
Oh, I already know the answer to this question without a doubt. And everybody listening to this right now, like this is the answer. Like, I don't care what anybody else says. I know for sure this is the answer. And I think everyone right now who's even mildly successful will agree. You need to start meeting everyone right now. Like the next step in your life is someone else helping you to get there. Whether it's someone teaching you how to sell, someone teaching you how to do a podcast, whether it's someone, you know, teaching you how to make workouts so that you can give them to your next client, someone is going to get you to the next place. So you need to meet that person as soon as possible. That is the most important thing. So like, if you don't have a lot of friends right now, say yes to fucking everything. Go to dinner, go, you know, to the, your friend's work event, like start signing up for seminars, start, you know, sign up for an online course, be part of a mastermind. Like, you know, like say yes to anyone who has a podcast and wants to talk to you about anything. Like I say no to 90% of podcasts. I'm like, who is this person? Let me see how many followers he has. Let me see how many comments he has, blah, blah, blah. Like you just say yes to everything. Cause eventually someone's going to like do something insane for you. Like none of my life would have ever happened if I didn't just say yes to that personal training client who wanted me to open my gym. Like that led to my online brand. Chalk would never have existed without meeting that guy. I was nothing and I was just personal training. And I gave that guy the time of day of like, you know, we would talk after we made the money. Like I already made the $100 from the session of training him. We would talk after. And I knew that like, I only had 30 more minutes to like even be able to work out. And so I had to coach another person and I would just give it up to talk to him. And I knew that was like a small investment. Cause I just like, I wanted to talk to other people. And then for me, when I started my podcast was actually when I met all the most influential people in my life. So the podcast was by far my number one thing after meeting my business partner. So everybody that got me to the next level, I met the person who runs all my ads for me. And now she's my marketing manager. And she's a huge reason why I have the success I have now. So I met her from a podcast. I met one of her clients on a podcast and he talked her up. And then after the podcast was over, got her information. And now I made her quit her job. And like, she just works for me now. And then the second person was this guy, Alex Hormozi. Have you ever heard of him?
Of course.
He's a huge name in the space right now. And basically I just DM'd him and said, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? And he said, yeah. And then I was like, cool. Well, like, I don't really have a lot going on. So like, where do you live? And I'll be there tomorrow. Like literally, like I will get on a plane tomorrow to go and podcast with you. And I live in California. He lived in Texas. And then I was like, dude, I'll be there tomorrow. And he's like, wow. Okay. And then I went to his house, we podcasted, and we just wound up hanging out. I actually canceled my ticket and just hung out with him for like 3 days. He just happened to like me. And then, which I can't guarantee for everybody that's going to happen to you, but like I wound up just hanging out with him. And like now he's like one of my better friends. We talk all the time. He's actually here right now in California visiting. And yeah, like now, I mean, he tells me stuff all the time. He'll just say one thing that's worth like hundreds of thousands or to the right person, maybe, you know, tens of millions of dollars. He's very, very smart. So without, you know, having the opportunity to meet these people, putting myself out there on the podcast, I would have, it's not even possible. Like the number one rule right now is to just make the biggest network that you can. Meet every single person.
I feel like a lot of people, this is such good advice, and I've personally experienced the exact same just as you, from to making that conscious decision of networking every single day, meeting as many people as possible, trying to help everybody, has absolutely, I don't know, 100x, however many x the business, and also the people that were able to help. A lot of people I think struggle with is that first step of like, if I want to start a podcast, to get in rut of how do I do it? Who do I get on? How do I get in the day-to-day stuff, which is the hardest. But then once you figure that out, that one step, and just to be able to put yourself out there, is the absolute game changer.
Dude, my first podcasts were me talking to my phone. Like no joke. Like I literally was like, well, let me see if I can just talk, you know? And I would just make up shit and talk to my phone before I got like on a podcast and started talking to like another person, or before I, you know, just did one solo. I literally would just like go on rants and just be like, that was pretty good. Or like, that wasn't good. And then once I felt good, then I would do it. You just have to do it. Like you just have to start doing it. And I think everyone says that, like all the most successful people are like, you have to fail. You're like, and you have to start doing it. And then someone who's like already failing in life is like, well, fuck, what does that mean? I can't fail anymore. You know, it's like, and I'm scared to fail because I'm already a fucking failure in this and that. Like they have all these you know, all these barriers in their life. And it's like telling that person to just start, even that is like a little bit much to that person, but they have to understand that it's the old school practice makes perfect. Like you can start. I think the secret to saying it is like start, but like do it on your own terms. Like you don't have to start on a big podcast. You don't have to start even with a guest. I didn't have one. I talked to my freaking myself. Like there's ways that you can do it and then baby step your way into the rest of it. I mean, I see people all the time with like 20 followers that'll ask me to be on their podcast all the time. And I look at it and they have like 2 likes on their photos and stuff. And I'm like, dude, good for you for even asking.
You're at the stage right now in your career where you have a lot of financial success and you're continuing to build your brand to expand and also to expand Chalk. How are you right now in this day where you are at self-develop in order to learn the most, to gain access to the right information and shortcut, I hate the word shortcut, but to shorten the time from getting the information you need in order to have even more success?
I try to ask the people who are more successful than me or are better at something than me what their favorite books are. And then I just read those books. So like, rather than like me do the research and figure out what books to get, because like I'll research all the time, like what's the best book for this or this or this. And I'm like spending more time researching it than if I would just like ask one of my friends who's like amazing at X, just like, hey, what's the best book for this? And they're like, oh dude, this one for sure. And I'm like, oh cool. I could have just texted him and asked him that. and then if I don't understand it the first time, or I feel like the book wasn't as good as he said it was, I'll usually have to read it again and be like, hey, well, maybe it's me. Like maybe I read it and like, I wasn't in the best frame of mind. And sometimes I'll read it the second time and it's a totally different book.
Are you a believer in hiring, obviously coaches and for the athletic standpoints, but for you personally, whether that be through for a business coach or a personal coach or a life coach, what is your take on having mentors and coaches in your life?
I was always against it. And to this day, a lot of people probably won't even believe you, but I've never had a mentor or a coach or anything. But currently, my girlfriend and I, so I have a relatively serious girlfriend now, and she has a job that she worked very, very hard to get. It's a very good job. But now she's like me. She like loves fitness and she wants to do fitness and she wants to figure out how to do, you know, kind of what I do on a different level. She wants to do like a little bit more expensive one-on-one training stuff. People in my field would call it high ticket sales. So she wound up getting a coach off of the recommendation of my friend Alex Hormozy and Layla. She talks to Layla all the time, Alex's wife. And Layla was like, dude, you should buy this guy's course. It's really good. It's exactly what you need. And it was $12,000 course. And she was like, holy shit, you know, like this is a lot of money. But obviously the upsell of if you do well and you figure it out is to make a lot more. And she's like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take the recommendation and I'm going to do it. And I've been looking at the materials that are in it. And I'm like, dude, this is really good. Like, this is super good. I'm like, this would have helped me a lot. Like, I wish I did something like this. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I honestly don't even know. So like, you know, we told the people like, hey, like I'm her boyfriend and like, I'm going to look at it. Like, is that okay? You know? And they're like, oh yeah, it's fine. Like no big deal. But yeah, like she's probably, and my friend Alex says this all the time, is like, Alex always says, I'll pay any amount of money to fast forward to the end result. So like, he always says like most people won't really make a course or sell something if they haven't been doing it for like a few years. So by you purchasing it, you're literally buying the knowledge of something that is years ahead of where you are. So, I mean, he says every once in a while you get a really bad product, and he's actually had like 50-50 bad products and good products. He's like, but buying the bad products showed me what a bad product was and how much money it still got. So when I made a product, I knew what I didn't want it to be and I knew what I did want it to be. So like you have that basis. Like how many people do you know who probably are on your podcast and say they make all this money and you're like, man, I wonder what their stuff looks like. And then you get it one day or someone shares it with you and you're like, oh my God, this is terrible. And then you're like, oh, I should do this. Like maybe I should stop podcasting and start business coaching, or maybe I should do this or that. So, I mean, it's like Alex says, like there really is no such thing as a bad course or a bad product, because it's just another stepping stone for you to learn on what you can give.
Is that something that you would like to pursue further down the line, to show people that the way that you've been able to have this amount of success over the course of your life in order to pass that on?
My goals, I don't think I've ever said this on a podcast before, is like, I'd like to build my app to the point where I could sell it for a lot of money. And then I will have to reevaluate what I'd like to do at that point. I would either just go live my life. For those of you out there who know who I am, I'm kind of an adventure junkie. So I might just go live all over the world and ride my bike and hike mountains and just do cool stuff. Or I would probably go the business route and become like a business mentor on some level, just because it's crazy to me. Like it's so hard to look at the world now and be like, man, I can't believe the opportunities people have right now, because these opportunities just didn't exist when I was in school. Like not only was social media not even a thing when I was in school, I'm only 35 too. I'm not even like super old, but it's like, these things weren't even a possibility. And like these types of incomes just were like no chance. Like it's just crazy to me. And I think there's half the kids coming out of school and they think that they have to be like a personal trainer or this or that. They don't realize that they have this other thing that they could do. And then also I think that they just haven't met the right person to show them what's possible. Like that's the other thing about meeting as many people as possible, is I remember I was making $1 million a year and I was like, dude, I'm the fucking shit. Like, this is crazy. Like I'm making so much money. I'm freaking in the fitness industry. This is wild. And I met Alex, who was telling me he was making like $50 million a year. And I was like, whoa. Like, and he's in the fitness industry. He was doing gym stuff. And I was like, yo, I'm not doing anything. Like just meeting him, like instantly doubled. I made $2 million instantly. like I instantly doubled my income, because I was like, oh, I am not doing as good as I thought. And then like, it just instantly made me want to do better and better. And I will forever be changed just having met him. And I'm sure, and I know that he's met people who are billionaires that have just blasted his mind. Like if you talk to him, there's no amount of millions that even mattered to him. Like I watched him sell his company a couple of weeks ago for $50 million and he didn't even care. He was like, all he cared about was $1 billion. Coming from somebody who wears the same outfit like every day. He's been wearing a chalk hat for the last like 3 years. I don't know if you've seen that. He always wears a chalk hat. And like, he doesn't even have a nice watch, nothing. Doesn't care about anything except getting to $1 billion. So it's like, it's interesting. Like seeing seeing what's possible. Like having people who can show you what's possible is just like, boom.
Is growing the app in order to get to a point where you are able to sell and then transition your career into a potentially a tangent or business coaching, something that you want to achieve within the next couple of years? Or are you thinking you want to do it for another, you want to build it for another 10 years before I have you, even 10 years later, you're still only 45. Is that where do you see yourself over the next, business growth wise, 5 years or 10 years?
I think that the online app will be sold in 2 years. And I'm hoping it'll be a pretty big number by then. Because every year I get to at least usually double the revenue. So like from here to next year, that number is fucking great. And then the next number after that, if I could double it again, would be enough to where I would sell it for the number I have in mind. And I'd just be like, cool, this is what I always wanted. And I don't know, man. I can't imagine what it would feel like to not like do what I do. Like, I don't know, but I am ready for something new. Like I've been in the fitness industry since I was like 12. Like I've had so many jobs and gyms. I've been in my gym for a ridiculous amount of time. A lot of people who follow me on social media, like I don't even work out in my gym anymore. Like I've literally been in there so much over the last 7 years that like now I actually, the gym I just worked out at was like right down the street from me. It's not even mine. And like, I barely even go in mine anymore. Cause I'm just like, it's what I've done for so long. I think the business side of things like just sounds cool because it's different. Or, you know, just going and living like a freaking National Geographic guy would be kind of cool. I don't know. It's interesting because I think wherever we're at right now, like technology wise, is going to be crazy in the next year and the next year after that. Like this whole metaverse thing is going to be wild. It's going to make social media look like a phone with a cord on it.
Ryan, before I ask you my last question, I know you've been on tons of podcasts. You've been constantly day to day. People just ask you a ton of questions. You've interviewed so many people on your podcast. You've had on. What is one question that I should have asked you that I didn't?
I don't know. I actually really like all of your questions. Honestly, I think that's pretty good. I think you did a really good job.
My last question for you is, if you were to be stripped away of all of your money, resources, and network today, and had to start all over again tomorrow, what are the first three things you would do and why?
I would establish like presence in the market. Like I would let people know who I am and why you should listen to me. So like, I actually kind of just did this. Like, so I just started TikTok, right? And I started with zero, you know, and the people on TikTok are not my people. And I barely ever go on my Instagram story and say, hey, follow me on TikTok. So I'm on TikTok making videos that I'm not used to making. They're not the same videos I make for Instagram. I'm trying to show people that I'm smart. So I'm like, here's a video of me working out and I do a voiceover and I talk about working out. Whereas on my Instagram, it'd just be a video of me working out. Everybody already knows who I am. So I'm literally like, all right, yeah, I'm another guy that you see training on TikTok. But did you know all these things that I'm going over while I go over the movement? Like I'm not just another person who has a good body or whatever to just showing you a video. I'm going to teach you and I'm going to show you why you should listen to me. So for me, that's what I'm doing right now. And like literally just in a few months, I got like 50, 60,000 followers on there, which I know on TikTok is not massive, but you know, I started at zero and literally all of my followers on TikTok are just way different ones than I have on Instagram. So I definitely did start from scratch there. So I guess I would probably wait, like my number is probably 100,000 followers to like really start to ask for money. I really like the idea of giving people so much value that like you're almost kind of scared about how much value you're giving them. You're like, damn, I'm giving them a lot of value. But it's like, as soon as they offer anything, you're like, I'm totally going to buy this guy's stuff. He's so genuine and he gives so much. And even if you got the product and it wasn't like that great, you're not even going to say anything because you're like, dude, I've already gotten so much from him. It doesn't even matter. So I'd get to that point, give away so much value where it scares you, and then start creating a product that is in line with your values and what you would can see yourself doing. And then just kind of see where you can take it from there. I think with social media now, I mean, a lot of people come to me and they're like, should I open my own gym to get where you're at? And I'm like, no. Like, if you open a gym, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars. You're going to have all these employees and all this stuff. Imagine if you just took that money and just spent it online and did like advertising and built a website and built like funnels and built, you know, different products and spent your time doing that. Like, the chance of you succeeding online is way bigger because you have more people like to even try to get. Not to say that you shouldn't open a gym, but it's like, if I only have like $20,000 and I'm like, hey, what can I do with this? And I don't want to take on any partners or anything, I'm going with the least risk, which is going to be marketing to millions of people versus like the few hundred in my area or a few thousand in my area who also have access to 10 other gyms.
Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show. For the people that want to keep up with what you're doing, follow you, or potentially work with you as well, where's the best place to find you?
Find me on Instagram. It's Ryan Fish, RyanFisch. And TikTok's the same, Ryan Fish. And you guys can basically watch a bunch of videos of me training. And, you know, my two big things are how to eat and train with purpose. So there's a lot of other people out there who like just talk about training or nutrition. I talk about both, and I talk about how you should do it in terms of your goals. Like, don't just do this workout if your goal is. And then like I do a lot of those little Twitter posts on Instagram where I talk about like, you should lift between 30 to 85% of your max if you want muscle. You should lift between this percent and this percent if you want this. Like I'm a little bit science and nerdy, but then also give you all the other stuff, like the workout videos and all that stuff. And my website's, it's jimryan.com, G-Y-M-R-Y-A-N.com.
Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.